The Haines Highway project is stumbling over some roadblocks, and it looks like southeast gillnetters will not be watched by marine mammal observers next year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haines Highway is a stretch of road north of the town to the Canada border and toward Alaska's interior. For more than 30 miles, the two-lane highway follows a prolific salmon river, travels through the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve, and crisscrosses native cultural sites. And while the project has been in the planning stages for years, a recent influx of concern about its impact on the Chilkat Valley has slowed its progress. The $130 million project would widen and straighten the Haines Highway, replace an aging Chilkat Bridge, and bring the road up from 50 miles an hour to 55 mile per hour speed limit. The project began in 2005, and it's taken nearly 8 years to secure most of the funding. It's also estimated to take that long to complete the entire 22 miles of highway expansion. During a recent public comment period on the state's design for the road expansion, more than 250 comments were logged. Jeremy Woodrow with the State Department of Transportation says that stack of comments has suddenly slowed down the project.
The high number of comments did slow the process down, and we're making sure that we respond to every single comment appropriately. And some comments were duplicative in nature, and so it's putting those together and making sure that we don't miss a comment when we respond to them.
Woodrow says the state is also going through some design changes in response to the comments. That could be good news for people who are stressing they support a safer highway, but without jeopardizing eagle and salmon habitat. There's a range of people, agencies, and organizations that have weighed in on the project. The National Audubon Society is concerned about eagles. The National Marine Fisheries Service worries about effects on Chilkat River fish habitat. Former state representatives for the Haines area, Bill Thomas and Peter Gall, penned a joint letter expressing support for the project but concern for its effects in the Chilkat Valley. And most recently, Senator Mark Begich has expressed concern about the project in a letter to the U.S. Department of Transportation, which is funding the project. Begich says he's been contacted by several residents concerned about the project's impact on wildlife and cultural sites. Begich also alludes in his letter that the state plans to remove eagle nesting trees. State officials deny that's the case. Plans call to remove some trees used for perching or roosting, but not any trees where nests have been observed. The effect of the project on cultural sites is more ambiguous. Historic and present-day sites like fish camps and burial grounds line the highway. Harriet Brulette with the Chilkat Indian Association spoke at a recent borough assembly meeting. She said the area around 4 Mile, also known as Yendestucky, has been shrinking over the years because of the highway. She supports the project but wants the state to be aware of the impact it can have on significant sites that many people may not even know about.
I know that you don't see a lot of tribal members here talking about that, and that is because it's a sacred site, and in our culture we don't talk about sacred sites, but to me it's important enough that I say to you, be aware of that. Be aware that we don't want our sacred sites shrinking anymore.
Some organizations, like Lynn Canal Conservation, say there is an easy solution to address their concerns. The state should reduce the speed in the corridor, saying that would help protect eagles. Here's Eric Holley, president of LCC.
We think there's a very simple resolution to two-thirds to three-quarters of the problem, which is simply a 50-mile-per-hour design standard rather than 55-mile-per-hour design standard.
Then there's Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott. She was at a series of public meetings in August when some Haines and Kluckwan residents lobbed harsh criticism at state officials about the project. She says she thinks the community has since repaired relations with the state.
You know, I'm glad that there are many people paying attention, and I think that that's the way it should be. And I think DOT has been responsive. I think we treated them very badly, and I was ashamed on behalf of the community when they had the public meeting. I think we have repaired some of that.
Not that Scott doesn't have her own concerns about the project. As mayor, she also chairs the Bald Eagle Preserve's Advisory Council, and her biggest concern is the road project's effect on salmon. She believes the salmon are the key to the healthy eagle population and to the local economy. But she also believes the state is doing what it can to avoid having to do an environmental impact statement, a process that could further delay the project. To avoid that, Scott believes the state is taking steps to mitigate environmental effects. Still, Scott says there should be a way to meet the needs of both humans, who need a safe transportation corridor, and the wildlife that call the Chilkat Valley home.
I sometimes feel like we lose sight of the human habitat and what we need for to prosper and flourish and not kill ourselves. I mean, we don't want to kill eagles and we don't want to kill humans. And if we can design in order to increase the probability of safety for animals and humans because we share the space, then we really should do that.
Because of the amount of comments, the state has pushed back the timeline to release the environmental assessment on the project. It's now expected sometime in late November to mid-December. About 150 museum professionals, curators, archivists, and historians are coming to Haines this week for the annual Museums Alaska and Alaska Historical Society Conference. The conference is held in different locations each year. The Sheldon Museum is the host this year with help from the entire community, and it is drawing participants from across the state and beyond, according to interim Sheldon Museum Director Christina Bolskaya.
This group is coming from all over the state. We have attendees from Bethel, from Nome, from Tenneke Springs, as well as coming from Haines Junction, and we have some people from Seattle and Olympia and Bellingham all registered for the conference.
Bolskaya says the conference is packed with events beginning Wednesday with day-long workshops including building exhibits or how to compile, submit, and manage a grant. The afternoon includes board meetings for Museum Alaska and the Alaska Historical Society. Thursday events include a trade show and silent auction, and keynote speaker for Museum Alaska, Michael Gates, a Yukon historian, retired Parks Canada curator, and conservator. Other workshops and event topics include museum advocacy, the business of museums, technology and social media, and museum publishing. The keynote speaker for the Alaska Historical Society is scheduled for Thursday with Jacqueline Johnson Pata, the executive director of the National Congress of American Indians and a Sea Alaska board member. The conference is taking up the entire Chilkat Center, nearby buildings, and other community centers, Bolskaya said.
Haines is a fantastic community, and we love gathering people, but it is a challenge on the planning side for putting together a meeting, as well as an opportunity to utilize a lot of multiple facilities in town, which we are.
She also stresses that other businesses in town should be prepared to enjoy some extra customers and visitors this weekend.
The benefit of having these groups come to town is that they are here for, you know, multiple days, and they have to have something to do. And they, like in Haines, we have to utilize all of our resources.
Some workshops and events are open for the public. You can find a complete schedule of events on the Sheldon Museum website. The conference runs through Saturday. It looks like southeast gillnetters will not be watched by marine mammal observers next year. That's because there's no more funding for the National Marine Fisheries Service Program, which gathers data on interactions between the animals and the fishing fleet. NMFS contractors just wrapped up a two-year observer effort in districts 6 and 8 near Petersburg and Wrangell. The agency had planned to continue with other gillnet areas next year, but that's been put on hold indefinitely, according to Assistant Regional Administrator for Protected Resources, John Kurland.
At this point, we do not have funding to implement the program next year. It's been kind of a tenuous situation for a while, and as I'm sure you're aware, federal agencies all over are facing cuts and making difficult decisions. So we still very much want to have observer effort to try to document the extent of interactions between the gillnet fisheries in southeast and marine mammals. But it's not looking like we're going to be able to implement the program next year. And beyond that, I honestly don't know. I think we're going to have to see how the budget situation unfolds.
The observer program around Petersburg and Wrangell cost roughly $1.5 million a year, according to the agency. The periodic monitoring is required for fisheries across the nation as part of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Without more funding, according to Kurland, NMFS will have to work with the limited data it has so far in Southeast.
If we are not able to do the Observer program in the other areas in Southeast, I think the best available information is going to be to take the data that we have from District 6 and 8 and apply that to the other districts in Southeast. And that may or may not be a good fit. You know, frankly, we'd rather collect the data in those particular areas because it's possible that there are differences, that there are more or less marine mammal interactions in some of those areas as compared to the Wrangell-Petersburg area.
NMFS uses observer data to help with marine mammal stock assessments and to classify fisheries in terms of interactions with the animals. Southeast salmon gill netting is currently classified as a Category 2 fishery, meaning it has had occasional interactions that have led to the death or injury of marine mammals. And the moose count. Tuesday was the ninth day of the season, and 14 moose have been taken. 6 were a spike fork configuration, 6 a three-brow tine, 1 moose had antlers more than 50 inches, and 1 sublegal moose was brought in. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Olive Del Sol for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.